welcome to the Yoga Focus podcast. I'm Laura Gellner, a yoga therapist, occupational therapist, and the owner of Focused Wellness Therapeutics. I provide one-on-one yoga therapy sessions, small group therapeutic yoga, and online education for yoga teachers that is rooted in science. For more information, check out my website, lauragyoga.com. Hi everyone, I'm Laura. Welcome to our next video in the series as we go through the text from Deep Dive into Yoga, this guide to help us to deepen our practice on our mat, but also off of our mat to really integrate the teachings and the skills of yoga into our day-to-day life. If you haven't already downloaded the PDF, you can go over to my website, lauragyoga.com, sign up for my email, and you will get this PDF as well as some other resources to support you in your practice. Today we're going to be talking about the study of the history of yoga, some of the philosophy and the texts that we can study to gain more knowledge into the foundations of yoga, into the spiritual practice that originated in India. So when we study these texts, we get to look at yoga from such a different angle than we do when we're on our mat and we're doing yoga poses. A lot of times you don't get exposed to this until you do yoga teacher training. And that's one of the reasons that I encourage people, if you really want to deepen your practice, even if you don't plan on becoming a teacher and you don't want to be up in the front of the room leading the class, taking yoga teacher training exposes you to and introduces you to some of these topics. If you're doing a worthy, good yoga teacher training, they should introduce you to these at least. So the first one is the Yoga Sutras. That's the one that I have spent the most time personally reading and studying. The Yoga Sutras talks a lot about the components that we know in the eight limbs of yoga, but it also goes off into some other very interesting topics that I'll talk about in a little bit. The Bhagavad Gita. This is an epic story from, it's a sacred Hindu text that talks about a battle that is going on and the discussion that happens during that battle. We'll talk about this a little bit more in the next one, but it's a lot about the ethics and morals that are conveyed through the practice of yoga and where that comes from and why we have that particular set of ethical values. And then the last one is the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. And I think the study of the Hatha Yoga Pradipika helps us to understand what components of the practice really are ancient, right? Because a lot of times we hear that, like, yoga is an ancient practice. It's 5,000 years old. But not all the components are 5,000 years old. There's a certain set of things that existed at that point in time. And then there are other things that were added later that were kind of evolved and had different influences and different sources. When you look into the history of yoga and specifically the history of India, you get to see a lot of those outside influences from the British occupation of India, from influences from like Russian physical culture, gymnastics, things like that, having an impact on the way that yoga was taught and what was incorporated into the poses especially. So here's a little bit more information about the texts. And I will preface this section by saying I am not an expert on yogic texts. This is something that I personally would like to spend more time studying as I go forward in my yoga practice. And in the resources section, I mentioned the Prasad Institute, and I love his posts on social media. I love following him on Instagram. And just maybe a week or so ago, he posted a list of, I don't know, maybe eight or so texts from yoga. And he said, okay, if you want to study the philosophy and the history and these texts that support yoga practice, this is your homework for the next 15 years. And he was like, I'm being conservative in saying that it would take you 15 years to get through these texts. For most people, if you don't have a few hours every day to dedicate, it will probably take you more than 15 years. But if you are really hoping to go deep into these texts, here's your list of reading for the next 15 years. And I was like, wow, yoga is just so incredibly deep. But here are the three that are most commonly talked about. If you want to look farther into that, there are more texts and more readings that you can look for sure. But the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali are the ones that a lot of people start with in yoga teacher training. It gives you the basics in these short little verses. My teacher described it like a string of pearls, that you were getting this little string of pearls, and there's so much information in just that little series of words. So when you look at a copy of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, I have a really thick copy. It's like a good solid 2 inches. But a lot of people like to study the translation by Swami Satchidananda, and that's a great translation. It's a little bit thinner, but most of the bulk of those books is actually the translation. So you have the little phrase, that string of pearls in Sanskrit, and then you have the translation and the interpretation that might be like 15 pages long. So there's a ton of wisdom kind of boiled down into those little phrases. And you can go through this whole process of reading interpretations from different teachers as well. You will gain different insight depending on who is doing the translation and who is doing the interpretation of the Yoga Sutras. But that's a great place to start as a yoga student if you're looking to go deeper into understanding more about the eight-limbed practice. And after you get through the eight-limbed practice, you have these different chapters within the Yoga Sutras. So chapter one is, what is yoga? And this one gets talked about all the time. When somebody quotes a Yoga Sutra, it's usually from chapter one. Chapter two goes into some of the different techniques of yoga practice. Chapter three is about concentration, meditation, and then what are called the siddhas, or the perfections or the powers. And I always like to bring this up because it's an interesting thing that not a lot of people know about in yoga. If you go farther into the Yoga Sutras, they start talking about how you can gain the ability to basically teleport, dissolve your body, walk through walls, literally like superpowers that they said the original yoga gurus, the yoga teachers, the mystics were able to do these things. And that's in the Yoga Sutras. So flip through to chapter three if you want to see some very, very interesting things in there. And then in the fourth section is the ways to enlightenment. So that's the end goal. That's that peak of the mountain that we are using these different paths of yoga to get toward the experience of enlightenment. Okay, and then that brings us down to the Bhagavad Gita. And I'll just say as a side note, I put some like general dates in here. It really depends on the source that you look at, the time frame of when it was written. I mentioned earlier that the history of yoga, when we go back really far, is kind of fuzzy and debated by different scholars because there was not a really solid written record at that point. And you'll find some conflicting information about when something was done, or even who wrote it. A lot of people talk about Patanjali as maybe not just being one person, maybe it was a group of people who contributed to that text. So that's a possibility that gets discussed sometimes. So a lot of this is kind of something that you're going to see some variation within, especially in terms of numbers and dates. I've seen all sorts of different things, and I kind of picked the ones that were the most commonly cited. So the Bhagavad Gita is a holy Hindu scripture about this epic battle called the Mahabharata, and it's the longest poem ever written. Pretty neat. But the text itself consists of this dialogue between Prince Arjuna and Krishna. And they are discussing different aspects of moral behavior and ethical challenges within the context of that battle. There's a lot of like family relationships that are on the battlefield, and he's having this discussion with Krishna about whether or not he should participate, or what his basically his dharma or his spiritual purpose is within the context of that experience. So the Bhagavad Gita is one of the most commonly cited and referred to texts in terms of spirituality, ethical, and moral debates and understanding. And it's sometimes called the spiritual dictionary because there is so much information contained within this writing. And the theme of it is selfless service and very much this idea of dharma and purpose. Okay, the last text that I have on here, definitely not a comprehensive list. There are so many other texts that you can look into. Like I said, the Prasad Institute gave you the 15-year reading list. This is the shorter version. But the next one is the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. And you can actually find PDFs of this online. And I think this is a great exercise for people who are studying yoga and trying to gain a better perspective of the context of yoga, to look at this text and to see that the 15 classical yoga postures were almost all seated poses. And a lot of the other things that we think of as yoga is actually a very modern addition that came much later on. So it's very neat to look back and see what the original foundational components of Hatha Yoga really were within this text. And this is one of three different texts. I have the other two written on here. I'm not going to say them because I don't want to butcher those names, but it is one of these three texts that comes together. So that's the very short reading list, Yoga Sutras, Bhagavad Gita, and the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, if you want to look deeper into some of the texts from yoga. And I'll end off this section with a quote from the Bhagavad Gita. Yoga is the journey of the self, through the self, to the self. And of course, that is a translation into English. And sometimes you have to be careful with that translation because different people will translate things different ways. But this is a fairly common quote that you will see from the Bhagavad Gita. And I think it just gets right to the heart of what we are working on in so many different forms of yoga, working through those layers of yourself to get to who you truly are at your core. All right, so this was our look at some of the text and philosophy that you can use to gain a greater understanding if you feel like you are pulled to that practice of jnana yoga, of acquiring knowledge and studying. This is a great way to do it. And we just have one more segment left where I'm going to talk about the follow-up text, which is called Light and Shadow in Yoga. So I will see you in the final section of Deep Dive into Yoga. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for being here on the Yoga Focus podcast. I'm Laura Gellner. If you would like to stay connected to more yoga resources, you can follow me on Instagram at LauraGYoga. I have many YouTube videos at Laura Gellner, The Yoga Focus Method, and you can find links to my book, Yoga Therapy at the Wall, and all of my online courses at my website, lauragyoga.com. Thanks so much for being here.